You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
My topic today is anything impossible for God? And I put this as a premise because I want to talk about dreams, visions, and promises that God has given you, that God has placed in our hearts, things that he has spoken, things that dreams that have come to us in the night, and things that maybe we have forgotten about. And the text that I want to start with is Jeremiah 32:27, which is, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" Another verse, translation says, "Is anything too hard for me?" Many times we consider some of the things that are inside of us that we want to do as just too hard. Now, we have a desire to do them, but for some reason we don't take action on them, or our actions are half-hearted because we can't see a way through. And I just want to remind you that for the Lord, there is nothing impossible. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too difficult. And if he has decreed something for you, he will bring it to pass as you trust in him. And I want to start this by saying that God loves a good story. If you look at the Bible all the way from Genesis through Revelation, it's just full of amazing stories. And it seems like the harder it is, the more God loves it. He just makes impossible situations for people so that we have to rely completely on him, so that we know that it was him who brought us through. And if you, again, if you consider all the movies and books that we like, they're all just amazing stories of how the underdog made it, right? I mean, that's the whole thing of how it came from nothing and became something, or had a dream and an aspiration and failed and accomplished a great success at the end. You know, we love those stories. I'm not sure if you're a follower, and I'm not recommending necessarily that you are, but a Game of Thrones fan. But the reason why so many fans were so upset at the final episode of Game of Thrones is because the dreams, the visions, the promises that the writers had set out for it didn't come to pass. You know, they had built it into so much, and then it became something else. And so I just want to remind you, God is not like that. God is not like that at all. And he tells us in Nehemiah 23:19, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would change his mind. Did he say something? Is he not going to come through? Did he promise you something? Will he not fulfill it? Of course not. You know, if he has spoken into your life, he's going to bring it to pass. And he's building a story in you. He's building a story for you and through you for his glory. There are dreams and things that God has placed in your heart that are dormant. And hopefully this word today will wake that up. I put here, when God created you, he planted a seed of a story in you, in dreams and visions. We have many generations here, but in my generation, one of the things that we were always asked in school was, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know? And we had all these ideas based on what we saw on TV or what our parents told you was cool or whatever. We wanted to be a policeman or a policewoman or a fireman or a doctor or a lawyer or movie star or whatever it was, right? As we got older, those dreams became other things. You know, as we got a little older, we started thinking in terms of, man, I would love to go to college. You know, I would love to graduate from college. I'd like to get a good degree. I'd like to perhaps become a business owner. You know, I would like to take a bakery and make it into something grand, or a restaurant and make it something fantastic. You know, the things that started stirring in us at a youthful age. For me, when I was young, it was baseball. You know, baseball was my dream. You know, we had this great hero in Puerto Rico, Roberto Clemente, and I wanted to be like him. He died when I was 8 years old, tragic accident. And to me, it was like, okay, I'm going to be the next Roberto Clemente, you know. And I threw myself at it, and I just practiced, and I just loved it. But then when I would turn around 15 or so, and I was by then filled with the Holy Spirit, something started shifting inside of me. And I saw myself on stage preaching to people, you know, I remember the teacher at school asked us one day, I don't know what inspired her to do this, but to this day I remember it. I remember drawing it out. And she asked us to make a picture of what we saw ourselves doing in the future. And I saw myself on stage with a speaker talking to crowds, you know, and I just drew it out. But life has a way of beating you, doesn't it? You know, the enemy has a way to try to derail us from the dreams that God places in our heart. And like many of you, I was derailed. But going into it, you know, what are the dream stealers? What are the things that come into our lives to try to steal from us what God has placed? One of the things that I wrote down was doubt. You know, doubt on we doubt our abilities. We doubt the timing. We doubt whether we heard God. We doubt whether it's a good thing for us to pursue or whether we can accomplish it. And one of the reasons why we doubt, I think, is because of bad teaching that has been passed on to us. You know, some of the things that I remember growing up hearing was, and as I grew up later, I couldn't find it in the Word of God, was, you know, that sometimes God causes bad things to happen so that he can teach you a lesson. You know, and I went through the scripture and I didn't find that. You know, I didn't find that. In fact, I found that whatever circumstances the children of God were going through, God came to rescue them out of them. You know, and whatever means he used to discipline his children, it was never to harm them. Okay, Pastor Josh shared this last week and I thought it was spot on. It is the enemy, doesn't it? John 10:10. It is the enemy that comes to steal, kill and destroy. And we need to assign the blame on the right person, the right individual. In this case, he is set out against us because we are God's children. You know, and when God sends us to the earth, and I'm going to speak this is for everybody here. Some of you can think that your life is insignificant. Some of you consider that your background, where you come from, is not something that can contribute to society. That's such a lie. If you are here, it's because God wanted you here. You are uniquely made. There's a DNA in you that nobody's had in the history of the world. There are fingerprints on you that nobody has ever had. The iris of your eye, nobody has ever had that. Okay? You are uniquely designed by God for a purpose. You have a place in the history of humanity that nobody else can fulfill. So you are not nothing. You are something very significant in the eyes of God. And whatever he has spoken to you, whatever he has whispered to you, it is true. It is true. And in heaven, it has already been decreed. Now he's asking you, and it's asking me, to take action on what he has said. And so some of those things that have been said to us cause us to doubt. It causes us to pause. It causes us to wonder whether it is the will of God for us to be healed. Whether it is the will of God for us to prosper and do well. When the scripture is just full of it. Full of verses that tell us what his plan for us is. When the children of Israel left Egypt, the scripture tells us that he basically made a deal with them. Let's do this together. Let's make a contract together. And he says, when you have built your houses, and you have built your storehouses, and they're full, and you're plenty, and your stomach is nice, and you have created all this wealth, remember, it is the Lord your God that gives you the power to create wealth. Okay, so did he want them poor? No. Why did Jesus say you will always have the poor and remember the poor and why we're supposed to take care of the poor? Because the assumption is that we're not. You get that, right? Why did he say go and lay your hands on the sick and they will recover? Why? The assumption is we're not. You know, we are the healed of the Lord. We are the blessed of the Lord. And we go around the world blessing other people. Helping them to be healed. Helping them to be prosperous. You know, now I'm not talking about you know, the prosperity that's been talked about that is ridiculous as far as riches, but there's no limit in God. It's not like he's broke, you know? I mean, heaven is paved with gold. Come on. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to walk on gold. You know, our feet are going to be standing on gold. What does that mean? That there is no limitation of what God can do in your life. The limitations we place on ourselves based on what we've been told, based on what we have believed. Some of the things that we say that I just had to, because this gets me every time. Everything happens for a reason. It's one of those things that we say. And we often use, if it's God's will, you know, if it's the will of the Lord, you know, you may share something that you want to do, and if it's God's will. Or if somebody shares with you something that's a great idea for you to go after, if it's God's will. when the scripture tells us in Job 22:28, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established for you. You're going to say it, you're going to speak it, and heaven is going to move to put it in place for you. Okay? He also said in Mark 11:24. This is powerful. Now, don't miss this. Whatsoever you ask for in prayer. That's why I got these over here because I can't see. Whatsoever you ask for in prayer, which another translation says, whatsoever you desire. Whatsoever you desire. That's not a small thing. Whatsoever you desire, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. What struck me about that scripture is, believe that you have received it. That's past tense, right? Now, you are praying for it. Obviously, you don't have it. Believe that you have received it, and it will basically manifest, which is in the future. You know, it's that in-between time, right? Is it not? When you hear a promise from God, when you've been told, like we were told, you know, you can't have children. My wife was told, you can't have children. And I came home and it's like, what does the doctor know? You know, the doctor knows what the tests tell her, you know, but she's not God, you know. And so we said, let's pray. 30 days later, we conceived, we had our first child, and bang, we were fructiferous with my beautiful daughters. There's no limit for God. There is no difficult thing for God. And the enemy comes to try to rob us by telling us that there are certain circumstances in our life that prevent us from getting it. And those circumstances then can become discouragement, which is my next thing that is a dream stealer. Discouragement is a dream stealer. And how does discouragement come? Discouragement comes through delay, through the circumstances, and the mistakes that we make in our lives. We have a great example in Abraham and Joseph of having to wait. Abraham specifically, he just waited and waited and waited. He got tired of waiting. So he conceived a son through another woman that was not Sarah, who God had promised it was going to be through Sarah. And that became a huge problem to the people of Israel to this day. Now those are children of Abraham, and God said, you're going to make a great nation out of them also. And so he did, you know, because he kept his promise to Abraham. But it doesn't keep from the fact that Abraham couldn't wait on God, and so he created issues for himself. Circumstances, Gideon is an amazing example in the scripture of circumstances that are overwhelming. You know, there was an army of 135,000 opposing Gideon, and the Lord says to him, no, you don't need 10,000, you don't need 500, we can do it with 300. 300 against 135,000, how is that possible? Again, God loves a great story. He loves a great story, you know. So there are circumstances in your life that have come to try to make you think that you cannot accomplish the thing. Man, I feel so strong. I'm talking to young people today. You know, there's circumstances, situations. This is my background. This is where I come from. My parents don't have enough. You know, I can't go to this school. I can't go to that school. I can't really pursue. All of those things mean nothing when God walks into the room. Do you understand? It doesn't mean anything at all. At all. Because nothing is too difficult for God. And so because nothing is too difficult for God and you are his child, nothing is kept from you that you desire. Jesus said it. And I believe him. Okay? And another one is our mistakes. The things that we had done in our past that we feel that disqualify us from the things that God wants for us. And like the two examples that I wrote here was David and Peter. My gosh, you can't get any worse than David and Peter. I mean, David murdered one of his most trusted allies and a man that was faithful to him. And by the way, if you read the scriptures forever and ever, the scripture continues to say about Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Okay? So it's kind of reminding you he really messed up there. Okay? He murdered Uriah, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then here comes Peter on the most important night of Jesus' life. Okay? He just spent 3.5 years with Peter. Peter walked with him. When they couldn't walk into the temple because they needed a coin, Jesus said, Peter, go to the ocean. Catch a fish. Inside the mouth of the fish is going to be a coin. Bring it. We're going to give it to these people. You know? Why was that there? He's kind of telling Peter, there's no limit here with what we can do. And Peter walked with him for 3.5 years, seeing all of this. And on the night in which the scripture says that Jesus was betrayed, he wasn't just betrayed by Judas. He was betrayed by all of them. But Peter in particular, because Peter was the one who said, oh, I will never deny you. I'll die for you. And think about how much Jesus loved Peter. That he said, you know, not only are you going to deny me, you're going to do it 3 times. But I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you, Peter, that once your soul is shaken, you will stand. That shakening comes to all of us. You got to understand that. It comes in to take the moss off of us, and it comes also to try to intimidate us. You know, when the Lord said to the children of Israel, when it said to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous, because I am with you. You know, be strong, be courageous. Why is the Lord saying that? Because there's something trying to discourage him, isn't it? You know, there's something out there trying to stop him. You know, do not be afraid. Why? There's something trying to make you fearful. That's the truth for all of us. For all of us. There's something in you right now. There's a burning desire in you right now for something that you don't have. And the Lord desires it for you. Let me tell you this. If the Lord doesn't want you to have that, or doesn't want you to go that path, he'll close the door for you. Okay, there is no longer any waiting to see what God says when he's already said, right, you shall declare a thing and it'll be established for you. He's basically saying, you act on it. You speak to it. You move that thing, right? So he's already saying that, and he's giving you the authority to do it, and he's telling you, go for it. If you have a desire in your heart that God placed in there and you know it's good for your family, it's good for you, it's good for the community, it's good for the kingdom of God, go for it. It is your right as a child of God to do so. And heaven will move on your behalf for it. Okay? Because he's with you and nothing is too difficult for him. In my life story, I already told you about my desire to play baseball and then preaching. As a young man in college, I was very hurt because of a relationship that I was in that broke up. And because of that discouragement, that mindset that I had to hurt God, I slept with a young lady. She got pregnant. And boy, that changed my life. You know, 2 days before my final season was to come, the coach pulled me aside and said, did you get a girl pregnant, Robbie? Yep. I said, well, they're getting ready to do something. You're going to have to go to talk to the dean of the university. Now, I'm not going to say the name of the university. A lot of you already know it. But it's a very Christian, very important university. And you sign an honor code when you start the year, that you will not engage in any activities that will bring shame to the school or to yourself, the gospel. You know, and anything that falls into that very general category is reasons to expel you, okay? So I knew this was coming. And so in one fell swoop, I destroyed the dream that I had to become a baseball player. As they said, you know, you're a good kid, you just made a silly mistake, but you're going to have to make a choice here. Either you leave, there won't be any record of you. This, you can come back and you can graduate from here and it'll be all good. Or if you don't, we're going to kick you out. You'll never be able to come back. And it was like, it's a choice, right? That's an easy choice. But as I'm walking out of his office, my tears are just pouring out because I have lived up to this moment. I have lived 12 years of my life from the time I could play, I could really play, dedicated to this one goal. And all of a sudden, I'm completely derailed. And if that's not enough, because of the consequences that happened there, I married and I ended up in a relationship that ended in divorce. So if what happened then wasn't bad enough, now I've really put the nail on the coffin, right? Now it's over. Now it's over. The dream as far as me being able to become a pastor, preacher, whatever, it's gone. You know, I'm not even thinking about it anymore. Except that all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, and this is the mercy of God towards me as it is for you, he starts talking to me. He starts calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning. He starts reviving dreams inside of me and saying, no, we're not done here. We're just starting, you know? And it was 35 years later, but 35 years later, almost to the date, I'm standing, not just here, this is a few years ago, in front of 6,000 people with the message going to 140 nations, and God is fulfilling the promise of the vision that that 15-year-old had by his mercy, by his goodness, because he is good. He's good always. He's good always. And so, back to you. There's a dream. There's a passion. There's something inside of you that's burning to be expressed. And God wants that expression in the earth. He put it in there. And so I think he sent me here today to tell you that every dream has an appointed time. Everything has a season. It tells in Ecclesiastes 3, does it not? You know, there's a time and a season for everything. In Habakkuk 2:3, it also tells us that's the place where he was saying to the prophet Habakkuk, write the vision, write it, and make it plain so that whoever reads it can run with it. Okay? And he tells them in addition to that, he says, it's coming for sure. It's at an appointed time. It has an appointed time and a destiny, and it's coming for sure. Even if it delays, wait for it. It's coming. So the Lord is saying to you, there are dreams inside of you that have been asleep for a long time. There are things inside of you that he's been stirring at night. There are things that as you hear the word being preached, it just wakens something in you. There's maybe you're watching TV and seeing something off of something. Something sparks inside of you that you want to do that thing. I am telling you, this is the season. This is the time. The Lord has basically sent me to tell you, this is it. This is it. And there are windows of opportunity in our life that only opens for so long. They just, because time just keeps moving, doesn't it? It doesn't stop. Okay? So there's a window of time to take advantage of a thing. And if you are ready and you're hearing what I'm saying, what the Lord is saying to you, this is your window. This is your time. The Lord is saying, go for it. You are not going to recognize your life a year from today if you take action on what the Lord is telling you. Isaiah 43:19 tells us, behold, I am doing a new thing. It springs forward now. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What is the representation we see when you see wilderness and desert? Things that are dead, right? Some dreams have died inside of you. I got to be honest with you. When I was asked to leave school, something died in me. I was grieving for a long time. I was in pain. I used to have this recurrent dream where every night I was trying to get back on the team. And I couldn't get back on the team. And as time went on, I got on the team, but they wouldn't give me a uniform. And then I got a uniform, but I couldn't play. I was on the bench. This is years. This is like 7 years process. I'm having these dreams, these progressive dreams. Then I got a uniform. I'm on the team. I can play, but I don't get to hit. It's like, oh my gosh. You just keep going and going and going and going. One day, finally, got the uniform. I get to play. I get to hit a home run. We win the game. I never had the dream again. Ever again. There are seasons of healing. Some things take time to heal. Some of the dreams that have died inside of you have taken a long time for you to get over. To be honest, I had a dream that I would never divorce. When I married the first time, it was to be married forever. You know, it's the reason, and honestly, is why it lasted so long, is because I was just not willing to give up. You know, it was very bad for a very long time, but I married for life. And so when that dream ended, man, that hurt. That hurt. You know, I have a master's in mental skills, so I know how to train my mind to deal with anxiety and all that stuff. It wouldn't work. It was 1 o'clock in the morning and I had these anxiety attacks. I'm thinking, do I have to call 911? I feel like my heart is going to bust out of my chest. I'm dying here, you know, and I'm trying everything. It took me like an hour to calm this thing down, you know, and it happened again. It happened twice. And it was like, as I was all by myself in the little room, just contemplating how my life had gone south so badly and how much in pain I was now. And how I could hate this person so easily if I just allowed myself to do so. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of something in my youth that helped me to forgive and let go. And the Lord delivered me in that moment. I feel like the Lord is giving you today, Ezekiel 37. I feel like the Lord is saying to you, man, woman of God, will these dry bones live again? He's speaking to you. He's stirring in you right now by the Holy Spirit. It is stirring in you right now. You can feel it. It's stirring in your heart. Something is stirring inside of you. And the Lord is saying to you, will these dry bones live again? And the prophet said to the Lord, basically he said, if it's your will, que sera, sera. You know, things happen for a reason. And the Lord said to the prophet, prophesy. Prophesy. Why does God engage us in his dream? Why does God engage us in his story? I'm beyond myself as to why he has chosen to manifest himself through people. But that is what he decided to do. Which means you as a son and daughter of God have dominion on this earth to bring his will from heaven to this earth. That was the prayers that Jesus made, isn't it? That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guess what? There's no disease in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. It is his will that we establish that here on the earth. And he wants to do it through us, through you. How can you do it? Let me give you a clue. You can't. You can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do this. What I'm doing, I can't do this. I could say words, I could stand up here, I could write notes, whatever, but cause your heart to be stirred by the Holy Spirit, I can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God doing it. He wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through you. And so he said to the prophet, tell the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Who is the Lord? He is the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for him? No. Can we just believe that he wants to, through us, do that thing that's in your heart? I'm going to encourage you to do this. Believe again. Believe again. As I was considering and I was studying and I was praying, I saw in my mind's eye, I saw Dom. I know I gave Dom a word a while back. And I as I was praying, I says, Dom, you are a wealthy man. You are a wealthy man. You're a business owner of multiple businesses, multiple employees. The dream that God placed in you is alive and well in heaven. And he's telling you, believe again. Believe again. Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, I see thousands. The number came to me was 5,000. But I remember the Lord saying to me one time, 5,000, 8,000, 10,000. It was a progression. You know, you guys are pastors to thousands. And your influence is going to cover the earth. The university that we've dreamt about and the things that we have spoken about are going to happen. The campus is already real in heaven. It is done. The professors are there. The students are there. They're already going out in the vision that heaven has. And it's not a lie. It is true because God doesn't lie. Same thing for you. You have a dream of becoming something. And it's not because you want to be important. I'm sorry. We're all important to heaven because of Jesus. You get me? But it's not about becoming something for our own glory. It is to pursue the story that God wants to write in our lives. Because he's written one big story, right? And your part in it is essential. As I mentioned before, you've been made unique. Your place in the tapestry is your place. Nobody can take it. I love that song from Prince of Egypt, and it was Sephora's father, which I keep forgetting his name. Jethro! Yeah, there you go, Jethro. Who sang that awesome song about the tapestry of life. We come from a long history. Our family, the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus, it comes from very far away. And after us, if Jesus tarries, is going to go on. Okay? But your place in the tapestry is important. The picture is not complete without you in it. And whatever territory God has called you to take and claim for the kingdom is yours to take. And he's saying to you, dry bones, live again. And it's not enough to believe and speak. We have to take action. And I base my actions based on Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And based on that word and all the other ones that this Bible so beautifully speaks to us, I have taken my claim on this earth for the kingdom. And I will take the steps necessary, and I'm encouraging you to do the same. I will take the steps necessary to accomplish it. And as I told the women of Hope United, hear me out, because this may be difficult to hear. It doesn't really matter if you get the goal or not. It doesn't really matter whether you get the trophy, the star, whatever it is. All that matters is that you bring glory to your Father in your effort of the pursuit of it. Okay? Moses, praise God. Moses took the people out of the out of Egypt and didn't get it to the promised land. Jesus died and went up to heaven after he resurrected with the promise that all of his enemies will be placed at his feet. Not happened yet. It's coming. Not happened yet. All of the heroes of Hebrews 11 died not having seen their promise. So the word is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your spot on the tapestry, nobody can take. The territory that God has told you to claim, you go out for it and you claim it. You go out and you take action on it. And you press against that thing, and you press against that thing, you press against that thing. Will ever the gates of hell prevail against the church of God? No. Ever. We're always taking ground. Always taking ground. All we must do is take the step. Take the step. And prayer is not going to do that for you. Prayer will perhaps increase your faith so you can take the step. You still have to take the step. Okay? So there are dreams that God has spoken to you about. Visions and dreams. Promises that he has said to you. There are many in the word, but there's some things that are specific to you. What the Lord wanted to do today was encourage you, to tell you, believe again. Believe again. And take action. Everybody stand up, please. Praise your name, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. And I want you to close your eyes, please. We worship you, Lord. We honor your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, please. If you feel in your heart that the Holy Spirit has been stirring inside of you, dreams, desires that you have inside of you that you have not taken action on, but you know you want this and it is good, but you've not yet taken action, I want you to raise your hand. If you know that there are things inside of you that God has spoken to you, promises that are not yet fulfilled, and you know that you have become discouraged because of the fight, I want you to raise your hand. Now let's pray. Repeat with me. Father, please forgive me for not believing. Please forgive me for giving up. Please forgive me for being tired. But now I ask you that you revive the dream that you placed inside of me. I ask you, Father, make these dry bones live again. Thank you, Father, that everything that you have said to me will come to pass in my generation. And as I pursue it, I ask you for the grace. I ask you for the favor. I ask you for the help that I can walk according to your will and the dream that you have for me. Thank you, Jesus, because I have it. I have it now. And I take action based on your word. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.